Hallelujah,
y'all.
Hallelujah.
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 First of all, and foremost, Lord, we come to you, Lord, today, Lord. Just ask you, Lord, just a great day, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord.
Yes.
I ask, Lord, that you forgive us for our sins, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you even allow me purposely, Lord, to give your word how you want to behave today, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I pray you, I invite you in today, Lord. I invite the Holy Spirit into me, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, whatever your will is for today, Lord.
Yes.
I pray it will be done, Lord. I pray you be my mouthpiece, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I pray whatever the will of God is today, Lord, I pray it will be done, Lord. And I pray even for traveling grace for anybody on the way, Lord, today, Lord.
Yes.
And Lord, I just thank you for what you're about to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
So today, we're going to be talking about God's comfort in trouble.
Amen.
As you know, everybody going to need God's comfort in trouble. Because you all have trouble. I mean, we all have our different types of trouble.
Yeah.
We all suffer, but we all suffer in different ways.
Yeah.
So God's comfort in trouble. So to be comforted, it means to sympathize with, strengthen, or encourage someone in need. So do y'all comfort? Yes. That's right. And then you have trouble. So God's comfort in trouble. So that's difficulty or problems. So this is saying God sympathizes with, he strengthens and encourages us when we're going through difficulties or problems. So you should just be giving God praise right there, because the fact that he's going to actually give you the ability to actually be strengthened when you're going through a situation and you can't do it on your own.
Yeah.
Like Minister Lane was saying on Wednesday, once you get past yourself, you got to get God, because you can only last so long.
Yeah.
Okay, so the topic today is God comfort in trouble. Lesson text is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. Related scriptures is chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 19. The time is probably AD 56 and places from Macedonia. Can someone read the going text for me?
God comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comfort of God.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 1.
Okay. I'm going to have everybody read one verse, and then we'll start over.
Corinthians 1 and 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in our church.
Verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort.
Number 4.
Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ.
Sister Thompson, can you read verse 6?
And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and of salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, is for your consolation and salvation.
And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation.
We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life.
But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead.
Verse 10, who delivereth us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
He also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so we're gonna get a little background first, because the Corinthians or something else, y'all. I mean, they had a lot going on. So you have 1 Corinthians first. So the 1 Corinthians, a lot of stuff is going on. I mean, when I say a lot, I mean a lot.
Yeah.
They had stuff going on, such as division, they had cliques, they had a whole bunch of sexual desire that should not have been, like incest and that kind of stuff.
All right.
They were worshiping false gods. They were doing a lot of stuff that should not be doing. But the thing about it is, we still kind of there. It hasn't changed. So that's an issue. That's a real issue.
Yeah.
So that's the 1 Corinthians. So Paul worked with the Corinthians. I mean, he was really working with the Corinthians, trying to get them to be better.
Yeah.
I mean, he wanted improvement from them. That's all he wanted. So he tried multiple times to try to get them out with all the stuff they was doing. So then finally he sent Titus. He sent Titus in there, and he was like, Titus, I need you to work your stuff. I need you to talk to them. I need you to do what you need to do. I just need them to start doing a little better than what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
So finally Titus sent a message back, and he's like, y'all, they improving. He's like, they improving. Maybe a little slow, but they improving.
Improvement.
So that's where 2 Corinthians coming in. So 2 Corinthians is, it's encouragement. So he's saying, okay, y'all may not be doing exactly everything I need to be doing, but I'm glad I'm seeing the improvement.
Yeah.
But I want y'all to keep doing the improvement.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to encourage y'all. I'm trying to keep it up. Don't stop. I need y'all to keep it going. Don't stop it now. So verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So right here, Paul is saying, I'm an apostle.
Uh-huh.
And he's saying, I didn't elect myself as an apostle. I didn't just say, walk in one day and say, oh, I'm going to be an apostle today. No, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God.
Yeah.
And it's that's second part, by the will of God.
Yeah.
So he's by the will of God means that God chose him for it.
That's
he
right.
He was elected. He wasn't just out of the blue saying, oh, I'm going to be an apostle today.
Woo-hoo.
No, it's by the will of God. And then it said, and Timothy, our brother. So Timothy was like his protege. He was training Timothy. He was saying, okay, Timothy, you're going to be the person that Timothy was a messenger for Paul, actually. So Timothy, he was sending Timothy to different places, just like he sent Titus to go fix stuff up. That was the messenger. So then it says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Well, it don't stop right there in Corinth. It don't stop right here in Rock of Ages. It said, with all the saints, which are in all Achaia. So Corinth and Achaia. Corinth is like Houston. And Achaia is like Texas. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and he's saying, I don't want you to just do it in Houston. He said, I want you to travel. Mm-hmm. He's saying, I want you to go all around.
Yeah.
All
right.
I want you to spread the word.
That's
you can't spread the word just in the church.
That's
right. Because if I go to the Christian, I'm going to be like, hey, I'm going to spread the word a little bit. And then she go to Sister Sonny and say, I'm going to spread the word a little bit.
They're
going to get right here in the church.
Yeah.
But what about people out there?
That's right.
I mean, we in church, so we must, you know, a little bit about God. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
But I mean, if you're in church, I mean, you should be trying to go out and do something. I mean, why are you still in the church? I'm like, okay, you go in the church to do what? To fill the cup up.
When
you fill it up, you must be giving that out.
Giving it out. That's
but
right.
Not giving it out. It's just the overflow. And God gives overflow. But when He gives that overflow, it's not meant to be wasted.
That's right.
I mean, y'all are letting it touch the ground.
But
that's the church on the street. I mean, that's not right? Y'all giving the word out?
Yeah, that's another church.
Okay.
That's
I mean, that's my point. We have to make sure that we're giving that word out. And even just a simple word, if you see somebody down the street, we all have discernment. We all have it.
Yeah.
You should know you have discernment.
Yeah.
So yeah. Somebody, if you look at somebody and be like, oh, they look a little sad, be encouraged today.
Yeah.
That's a witness right there.
Right.
Oh, I got your back.
Yeah.
God, I love you.
Yeah.
That's all witnessing. So I'm like,
right.
Witnessing isn't always, and the Bible says, and John 3:16. No, that's not always witnessing.
That's right.
It's just simply sharing the word of God.
That's good.
Spreading God, spreading Jesus. Okay, so then another, it's just a kind of a fun fact. So Ikea. Ikea means trouble. So what's the title of the lesson?
God's
trouble.
So if Ikea means trouble, don't that mean it's God comfort in Ikea?
Yeah.
So he's saying he's gonna comfort y'all too, because y'all are all the Ikeas, and y'all all have trouble.
Yeah.
So God's comfort in Ikea, God's comfort in Ikea, God's comfort in you, God's comfort in you, God's comfort in trouble.
Yeah.
He comforts y'all. I know he do.
Yes,
he
yeah.
We wouldn't be smiling right now.
All
God
right.
comforts us. It's
yeah.
consoling.
Yeah.
He's
right.
relieving distress.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Amen.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father. Now, only one person can give grace and peace, and that's Jesus.
Hmm.
He can't get, when Paul said this, he wasn't just saying this like, well, I bought it off the shelf and I'm going to go send it to y'all. See, no. He was saying, and for someone to give something out, you have to experience it yourself. So he's saying, grace and peace be to you, because Paul understood suffering. Paul went through so much. So since he understood it, he knew what grace and the peace felt like of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So since he knew, he's saying, I want y'all to have it too.
Yeah.
Because Paul planned the church. So Paul is looking as a leader. So he's saying, as a leader, I want y'all to experience what I feel, because we're a body. We're connected. If I'm feeling good, I want the full body to feel good.
Yeah.
Now, we should all be like that. It's not just leaders. We should all want the full body to feel good. We should all want to be included.
Amen.
Okay, and then it says, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's saying it's not from him, but it's saying that grace and peace is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort.
Hmm.
So right here, this is the Trinity right here. Blessed be God. That's God.
Yeah.
That's God.
Yeah.
Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
So this is saying Jesus. That's not saying before that. This is saying all powerful Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then it says the Father of mercies.
Mm.
The Father of mercy. He pities us, y'all.
Yeah.
He pities us. Because we're pitiful. We really are pitiful.
Yes, we are.
And not only are we pitiful, but he has compassion for us.
Yeah.
And when you have that compassion, it's just a matter of when he sees you, he's not a callous God. He's not going to see you in pain and walk away. He's not us.
No.
He is not man.
No, he's not.
Man, we have no compassion. No compassion.
Hmm.
But God looks at you and he wants to console you. He wants to comfort you.
Hmm.
And then it says, in the God of all comfort. Now, do y'all know who the God of all comfort is?
Hmm.
Anybody? Okay, so basically, the God of all comfort is the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Can someone turn to John 14:26?
Let me get your mic.
John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you.
Exactly. So the first thing it says is what? The Comforter is the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Y'all need y'all fruit, y'all just heard it. John 14:26, y'all should be late.
All right.
So then it says,
teachers, they teach you.
So when they teach you, it's so that you can learn.
That's right.
But not only do he teach you, but he don't want you to forget it. So he say, I'm going to teach you. But not only am I going to teach you, but I'm going to make sure you remember it after you learn it.
Yeah.
So that's what the Holy Ghost do.
Mm-hmm.
But then not only that, he leads us and he guides us.
Yes,
so the Holy Spirit is in it all. It's in it all.
Yeah.
And that's the one that gives us the power to go and witness. Because you can't do nothing if you don't have the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And even if you look at, one second, y'all,
You sure right?
Luke 24:49.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Look at you. Look at you. Oh, you guys didn't look yet. Oh.
Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promises of my Father upon you. But I tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endured with the power from on high.
All right.
All right.
Right there. It says that. So right here he's saying that, if y'all remember, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave y'all comfortable.
That's right.
But he's saying right here, he's saying, so I want y'all to tarry until y'all have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He's saying, I don't want y'all to go and start witnessing until y'all have the Holy Spirit. So he's, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's saying that mm-hmm. he wants y'all to tarry, which means tarry means wait. So he's saying, I want you to wait on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I may not be here, but I'm saying, okay, I'm going to leave y'all comfortable. I'm not going to leave y'all comfortless because
that's
y'all
right.
need to be consoled.
That's right.
And y'all all know what consolation is, right? Everybody knows what consolation is? Consolation means to be consoled. It consoled and comfort is the same thing.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Help. Help.
Okay. Yeah,
so he's saying right here, he's saying, I want to try to be endowed with the Holy Spirit. So you cannot witness without being endowed with the Holy Spirit. Because if you're not endowed, that means you're using that flesh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes God will reveal something to you. The Holy Spirit will reveal something to you that you will, in your own mind, would not know about something.
Yeah.
That's right.
So sometimes you have to make sure you invite the Holy Spirit in.
Right.
And like Mr. Lane says, you have to ask that you decrease and he increases.
All
that
right.
means you're taking that flesh out of it and
yeah.
bringing the Spirit up.
Yeah.
Okay? So, anybody have a comment? Anybody?
Yeah, you sure all right. And you know what? Sometimes, I got excited. Because sometimes I can get started, and if I forget, you see what I'm saying? Lord, as I decrease, you increase. He already has the power,
mm-hmm.
but it's me humbling. I have to make it personal now. It's me humbling myself.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So now he can come in. And do his thing.
Yeah.
And do his power. Because he has more power. He's a know-it-all, but he has
yes.
more power. You see what I'm saying? So, okay. In other words, like Paul said, I beat that flesh dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, man. So, like, beat yourself down. Beat that pride down.
Mm-hmm.
And let the Holy Spirit have his way. You right.
And that's actually really true. Even in John 14:13. Whatever you ask, he's going to do it for you.
He's going
to
do it.
So you ask to be decreased in the Holy Spirit.
He's going
to
do it.
Guess what? That you're going to decrease and the Holy Spirit going to increase.
All right.
I just had one comment when you were talking about the comfort. At any time comfort comes, the healing comes behind.
Yep.
That's right.
And a lot of times if we're not being confident, it's like it's almost like the comfort allows you to be still just for a minute for the healing process to begin. Even if you're not physically still, but just still in your spirit, when you can hear what God is saying,
mm-hmm.
and then you're able to do what God is saying. But that's what I got from you is that healing
comes
with comfort.
Comfort
comes with healing. Healing comes with comfort.
Yes, it sure
does. It does. Okay. So, oh,
yeah, I'll just
real
quick. And I like what you said, too, when you talked about how you tied in the comforter.
You know, he's the God of all comfort, which means he has the Holy Spirit is the comforter, not
yes.
just a comforter. So, see, we have comforts that we use, that we sit on. It might be some bone form. It might be some Hennessy. It might be some tequila. It might be a strange woman. It might be, it might be lighting it up and firing up some Newports or some, you know, I don't know what it is. So we have a way of comforting ourselves, but he's not talking about a comforter.
Yeah.
He's talking about the comforter.
Yeah. I got some
bad.
And any other
company,
they ain't gonna
let. Yeah. All right, come on now.
You got it.
I know.
It's Tim. It's Tim.
It's Tim. I know. My experience.
And then just right there where in verse 3 where it says, in the God of all comfort. So, I mean, God is the comforter of all. So If someone's having trouble with a light bill, a gas bill, pain in their body, a phone bill, trouble on a job, money, trouble with a supervisor, eyes, your husband, your wife, all of that.
Yeah.
God is the God of all comfort. He didn't say he's the God of this right here comfort, or the God of this stand comfort, or the God of this comfort.
Yeah.
But if you think of all, what y'all think about?
All.
Everything and all. Think about that. So he's the God of all comfort. So that's a really important thing that we, even when we're going through suffering, that we ask God to comfort us.
Mm-hmm.
Because God will console you, but you have to receive it. I mean, sometimes God will be consoling us, and in the midst of the consolement, we still don't get to talk about some, but it's that but. It's always the but behind it. Sometimes you just have to shut up. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you get yourself in a mess. So that when you say, when you ask God for that comfort, you say, God, console me and help me to where I can let go of it. Because you don't need that help. Because we human, we all got flesh. Mm-hmm. So we all know the way how it feels. When you're going through stuff and you're like, okay, now look, this ain't going fast enough. But it's in his time. And that's not easy. And that's not, I have trouble with that. And I'm sure we all have trouble with that. To let go and let God.
Yeah.
That's not always easy.
Mm-hmm.
But you're asking God for the strength to let you do it. So,
you're right.
I think Sister Thompson might have something for
you. Oh, Sister Thompson.
Yeah, and this is an awesome lesson. Yeah. And in St. Matthew's, one of the beautizers say, in verse 7, it said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And sometimes we need someone to understand the difficulties of life. And the only person that can really understand the difficulties of life, what we go through every day, and that's Jesus. So you may say you know what I'm going through or something like that, but you don't know what nobody else is going through in this life. But the only person to know that is Jesus. And our trials come to make us stronger.
Yeah.
Do better. We are to learn from what we go through in this life and then pass it on to somebody else. That's what it's all about, being a witness to let somebody know how good and great our God really is.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Just remind me about something too. How you suffer matters. So when you're going through that suffering, are you complaining or are you actually saying, God, help me? Because you know the thing about it is, why you suffering? Someone watching you suffer.
All right.
And if they're not of God, sometimes you can lead someone to God just by yourself.
Yeah.
So like I said, your suffering isn't always for you. Sometimes
that's
it's
right.
for the other person.
All right.
You can lead people to God through your suffering. So like I said, how are you suffering? So when you even suffer, it's the matter of you're suffering, but are you suffering in God or are you suffering in yourself?
Yeah.
Because like Minister Lane said, like I said a minute ago, when you get to the end of yourself, that's when he steps in.
Right.
So when you finally have enough courage to say, God, I need you to step in. I put myself aside. I need your spirit. Because even the Bible says, he won't pay more on us than we can bear.
Right.
But the flesh can only bear so much.
Yeah.
That's why he's in our body.
That's
you have to ask for him, though.
Yeah.
You have to ask.
Yes.
So if he's saying, he won't pay more than you can bear, like you said on Wednesday, once you get past yourself, because we have a self issue.
Hmm.
We have that self issue where we don't understand how to put yourself to the side.
Mm.
We selfish. We so busy thinking about our own self. We can't think about somebody else.
Yeah.
But once you get past yourself and you ask God to come in, that's when you can bear it. Because only he can bear it.
Right.
You can't bear that.
So,
you cannot bear that. And people go years without asking God for comfort. And you look like you've been through years of suffering.
Hmm.
So that's on you.
Help me.
I just wanted to comment off of what you were saying about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, that should be your best friend.
Yes,
that best friend you go to when things are going wrong. Instead of going to man and, bestie, this is what happened. Oh, bestie, Holy Spirit, this is what's going on. I need your help.
Right.
I need your help. I need your consolement. I need your comfort. Amen. And see, that's your ride or die.
Right.
No matter what's going on, that's your ride or die.
Always your best
shout.
I just want to say, if you're going to pray, don't worry. Listen to the word. If you're going to pray, don't worry. But if you're going to worry, why pray?
All right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So verse 4. So verse 4 says, who who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them,
okay,
which are in any trouble.
Okay.
Right.
By the comfort wherewith,
okay,
we ourselves are comforted.
Yeah.
Of God.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I'm gonna read this one in NLT, because if you read that, you can get confused kind of easily. So,
uh-huh.
All right.
NLT, okay. NLT version. 1 second, let me get to it real quick. So NLT. It says, he comforts us in all our troubles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that we, the ones that have been comforted,
mm-hmm,
can comfort others.
Okay. So, okay.
When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I have Sister Crystal and Sister Shauna.
Amen. Good job.
Amen.
Okay, so what he's saying is he comforts us in all our troubles. So when he comforts us, he's bringing us in.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Have y'all ever seen what is it, chicken or hen, when they have their chicks, they
take it under
their womb, they come under. So he's taking us in.
That's
so
good.
When he takes us in, guess what he wants us to do?
All right now.
We all under together. But now, he don't want to stop there. Sister Barry, come up here real quick.
All right.
He's saying, okay, I done consoled you. I done took you in.
Uh-huh.
And I done, after that, I done had Sister Crystal with the same consolement I done gave Sister Crystal.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. She consoled Sister Sean. And now guess what? Sister Sean is going to console somebody else.
Yeah.
It should be a circle. It should always go around. It should never stop.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's what spreading is. If you think about it, you spread something. If you when you're spreading, if you think about the champagne glasses with Ed Wayne, you know how it has like a pyramid. It's like it's one, then it goes to 4, and then it goes to 8,
uh-huh,
and then it goes to 12 and 16. It's the one person should spread the 4. Those 4 should spread somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It should be like a branches. Branches, they don't stop.
Yeah.
Branches continue. They continue and they're strong in the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome.
So basically he's just saying, I want to give y'all that consolation. I want to take y'all in. I want to put y'all under my wing. I want y'all to be protected. I want y'all to be strengthened.
Yeah.
And as I strengthen y'all and as I protect y'all, I want y'all to go and do it to someone else.
Hallelujah.
And with the same consolation I have given you.
That's it.
So, I have one more something. I'm sorry, but it's needed. So, Minister Brother, and I have to go on. Actually, y'all have Jordan too. Come on.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have Jordan in the middle. You're gonna be facing Minister Glover. And so what you're gonna do is you're gonna catch him. Not like a full on. When he pushes you, fall. So now y'all watch this, okay y'all? So Minister Glover, he's gonna be counted as the suffering, right?
Yeah.
Now this Jordan is us. And then you have Kayvon, he's the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Now go ahead. And he's gonna catch it. So y'all saw what just happened, right?
Yeah.
So suffering pushes us. So that push is the suffering, right? But the consolement isn't gonna let us fall.
Right.
Now he's gonna hold us up, but guess this time, push him twice instead of once. Now guess what that means? Mm. Every time we're consoled, we get stronger.
Yeah.
So when we're consoled, not only are we getting back up, but he's making us stronger in God.
Yeah.
Not stronger in ourselves, but in God.
In God. All right. All
right. Now, this one right here, we always think is the devil. We always think suffering is of the devil.
Yeah.
But suffering isn't always of the devil. All sometimes suffering is to get us out of the comfort zone.
That's right.
So sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zone to go up to his comfort zone.
That's right.
Because our comfort zone is on a whole other level. So our comfort zone can be all the way down here.
Yeah.
And God can't even see it. So God's comfort zone is something that you have to be pushed out of, because we like to be so comfortable, and we like to be in our what's the word for where you're in your element. You like to be in your element.
Yeah,
you don't like to be put in weird situations.
No.
Yeah.
So the thing about it is, when you do the push 3 times. When he gets up every time, he's gonna get stronger.
Yeah.
That's the consolement. So God consoles, but he also strengthens you.
Yeah.
So that's it, y'all.
Console me,
Lord. So that's also really important. Your suffering, like I said, your suffering matters. Your suffering is what makes you stronger in the Lord.
Yeah.
And like I saw something saying, your muscles don't matter, it's your scars. Because your scars tell a story. So all those scars, it all means something important. Because if you think about it, when you go and talk to someone, you're bringing someone in, whose scar are we talking about?
Yeah.
We're talking about Jesus' scars.
That's right.
Because even after he was risen from the dead, he had scars.
Yeah.
But he was all powerful.
Yeah.
So it's not the muscles, not the strength during the situation.
All right.
It's more of the scar after for you to go and tell somebody during it.
Yeah.
And I can not only tell you about it, but tell you not to go that same way.
All right.
It's,
all right.
That's what it's all about. It's like a parent with a child. He's gonna, he or she is going to tell you, don't do this.
Don't do this.
But we all have choices. You have a choice to go that way or not go that way. But hopefully, you learn the first time. If you don't, then guess what? That's not God's problem. That's you.
That's right.
Hmm.
That's right.
Just a bit.
I just want to say that.
Mike.
I just want to say that's a problem that you did it. And if you don't want to come out of it, it's so good that God is still there with your hard head. When you don't want to pay attention, think about it. When you don't want to pay attention, do what God say do. He let you do what you want to do. You fall, get back up again. You keep getting in trouble. You keep doing this and doing this. Your body keeps shaking and everything. And they never did call on God the whole time. You know what I'm saying? So when you get tired of being sick and tired, you say, God, help me. Please help me. And he's been sitting there all along waiting on you to come on in.
That's right.
Or whatever the circumstances may be, not like the other.
That's right.
You know, maybe need a pair of shoes or something like that, you know. But just all this, you just ask God. Don't wait till the road get rough.
Yeah.
He's already there before you. He came before waiting for you, but it's just like, people on the streets and people doing their own thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we all do our own thing.
Yeah.
But put God first in it. Put God in it before you do it. You know what I'm saying? And you, I'm so proud of you. You are on this, and I'm just so proud of you. Thank God for you teaching this word today, and it's coming to get out that comfort zone, if you see.
Right.
You know, from way down there to way up here now. Because I was in that comfort zone at my job. And I just keep hopping on my job. I can't get it. But that was a big comfort zone for me.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for 20-some years, you know. And then for me to just get up and for them to do, but I can't tell them, you know, read my words, what I want to tell them.
Yeah.
But that's my job. But I just got a little while long just to hold on just a little while long, and then I just leave, you know, and let them do somebody else like that. But, you know, just the fact that I feel like they're trying to kick me out the door. But it's a lesson.
Yeah.
I'm learning a lesson that God is right there with me the whole time.
Amen.
The whole time. So whatever I do, I say, God, go before me, because I don't know what's going on. And I'm right there. So I just want to thank God.
Amen.
And even going back to that, with our suffering, a lot of times come blessings.
Because
even in what scripture is that? First Peter 5:10.
Yeah.
But it says, but the God of all grace,
who
hath called us into his eternal glory,
his glory.
By Christ Jesus.
By Christ.
After that ye have suffered a while. After that ye have suffered a while. We have to disregard that part.
Yeah.
And like, get that and just go make perfect. No.
Yeah.
After you have suffered a while.
Yeah.
So a while is different times for everybody. Everybody's suffering is not the same.
Yeah.
Everybody has different things that they consider suffering.
Yeah.
So it's after you suffer a while,
then
he will make you perfect.
Yeah.
He'll establish you.
Uh-huh.
He'll strengthen you and settle you.
And settle.
And the thing about all those four things are so important.
Yeah.
When you say perfect, we're not talking about without blemish or perfect or, oh my God, they're perfect. No. No one can be perfect except Jesus.
No.
Yeah. When it says perfect, it's basically saying it's a restoration. It's mature. You're maturing in Jesus.
That's
and
right.
And then you have established. Established is to confirm. So the actual definition of established is to place something securely and permanently in a position, situation, or condition. So it all goes back to that foundation.
Yes.
He's a foundation,
and
Jesus Christ is that foundation where you have to stand on.
Yeah.
Because if you stand on the suffering and you don't have that the real true foundation.
All right.
What? You can fall anytime.
That's right.
But when you fall, you're gonna fall all the way down.
Yeah.
But when you have that Jesus foundation, that real foundation, you may put some suffering on top of that. But guess what? When you fall, you ain't gonna fall all the way down. He's gonna catch you. He's gonna console you.
That's right. All right.
That's
That's right. And that's verse 4. Right? Yeah. Now we have verse 5. So since verse 5 says, and for the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ.
Yeah.
So in this NLT version, it says, for the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ.
That's right. Wow.
So the thing about Christianity, everybody thinks, oh, Christianity is flowers, it's rainbows, it's B-I-A, Kaye, and all this other stuff. No, that's not how Christianity is. When you join Christianity, you're going to have some suffering. But the thing about it is, people get stuck on the suffering.
Yeah.
People always get stuck on the suffering, but they don't think about what comes after the suffering.
Yeah. All right.
The suffering is one thing, but you have the consolement. You have to think about both aspects. Just like when someone is in a fight, you have to see both sides.
Yeah.
You have suffering. It may be a negative, but it may be a positive also.
Right.
So it's a negative and a positive. Yet, you have to think about what comes after it. So even deliverance, exactly. You are going to be doing it. So just going with that right there, the more suffering we go through, the more God will console us and bless us.
That's right.
Now, I know we don't always like to go through suffering, but sometimes that suffering is going to get you out of that comfort zone. And when you're out of that comfort zone, the funny thing about you getting out of that comfort zone is, most of the time the thing you hate and say you would never do. And I'm not trying to be funny, but it's always true. The thing you say that you hate and you will not do, like Pastor Glover said, never say nothing.
All right.
Never say nothing because you're going to get yourself in a future when that thing you say you would never do.
Yeah.
All right.
Never say nothing. And the thing about it too is, Paul wrote this perfect. I mean, Paul, Paul was the perfect person to write this right here, and God knew it. Paul knew something. And everybody think Paul was, I didn't even know that Paul was as low status like he was. I thought he was a little higher up. I didn't know. I really didn't. Now, Paul had low regard. I mean, he was a tent maker. I mean, he worked with his hands. But I mean, who else worked with their hands? Who else was a low regard?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, you think about it. You always thinking about the flesh, but you're not getting to the spirit. So, the thing about it is, yes, he was a tent maker, and he went through suffering. I mean, he went through suffering. I mean, he was in prison, he was beaten, he was threatened, he was chased out of a town,
shipwrecked.
And he was left for dead, y'all. He went through some stuff. The thing about suffering is, he understood suffering. But the thing about suffering is, once you understand it, you can tell somebody else about it.
Yeah.
So that's why he was such a great teacher, because he understood suffering so much. So he knew, yes, you're going to suffer, but it's not all bad. You suffer, but you get something out of the suffering. Sometimes, like I said before, suffering isn't always for you, but a lot of times suffering is for someone else. When someone sees you going through something, it allows them to see how to go through something also, especially if you're of God. Now that comes in the question, okay, you're of God, you're suffering, how are you suffering? Because if you over there complaining the whole day, talking about something, they said they were going to do this day and do what they're supposed to be doing, y'all understand? Now, somebody watching you right there talking about something, okay, so, they ain't no Christian. Yeah, that's not going to work. That's right. And then they're going to be thinking, I need to do that thing. If they're Christian, it's working for them. No, that's not how it works. You need to be really careful about how you suffer.
Yeah.
And even sometimes when you do that, you need to do it in quiet. Because some stuff you have to be really careful about what people see you do. Someone is watching. But like I said, so Paul understood suffering, but the thing about suffering is it's never left alone. The Holy Spirit will never just leave you where you're just stuck in the corner.
He will not.
He will always come in and console you.
That's right.
Like I said before, you have to receive the consolement.
Yeah.
You're being consoled, but you have to receive it. I mean, you have to believe that you are being consoled.
Yeah.
Because if you over there still saying, I'm going to worry about this a little more because, okay, I know I'm supposed to be being consoled right now, but I guess if I worry about this, I'm going to change in a few minutes. No. Like I said, once you get past that self, we have a real self issue, y'all. We really do. And I'm saying y'all and us. It's us. Us got self-issues.
It is us.
Because I know me personally, I do too. Because sometimes I'm going through something, I'm looking like, well, maybe just say a few more times, maybe it'll come like the past.
All right.
No, that's not how it works. And I mean, we getting there. We trying. We, like Sister Chris said, we striving. We ain't made it yet, but we striving. But God loves improvement. He likes to see the improvement in us.
Help us, Lord.
Yeah, I mean, we can only do so much with our flesh. But when we ask him to come in, that's when he comes in.
Turn on my mic yet. You in it. So whenever I think about or equating sometimes a tangible thing to equate suffering and deliverance, I think of childbirth. So some women have, these roses and butterflies and picket fences, pregnancies, and you know, they just grow this beautiful belly and then they deliver, you know, healthy baby, and there's no aftermath. They bounce right back. And I think of, like, I think it was in the 90s, Heidi Klum delivered a baby, and then 6 weeks later, she was walking on Victoria's Secret runway, like, you know, back to rail again. And that's not the norm for most women. And I think about, you know, with Jordan, I didn't have, you know, I didn't suffer a lot during pregnancy. And I think sometimes God blocks some things, or this is my opinion, that, you know, childbirth, we forget about the pain and the suffering, and then we want to do it again, right? And so whenever I did it again with Trinity, I was thinking, okay, it's going to be the normal pregnancy that I had with Jordan, not realizing the suffering that came after it, and how you just talked about, like, suffering in silence. Okay, well, I'll just deal with these thoughts and feelings and emotions, and I won't say anything to anybody. And then if I just smile, and then I, you know, go through life and make dinner and do all these things, they'll never know, right? They'll never know that I was in complete darkness. But God and the Holy Spirit kept dealing with me, right? Kept dealing with me in that suffering and in that valley, telling me that I could get pulled out. It wasn't until I said to someone else, being AJ or y'all or a therapist or whatever, I am suffering. I need help. I need comfort. Until, and the Holy Spirit kept saying, say those three words. Say those three words. And I was like, no, like you said, I'm going to deal with it just a little bit longer. These thoughts are going to pass. I'm going to get through it. Whatever our self-motivation, you problem, right? Mm-hmm. And not realizing, because I didn't want anyone to look at me like I was going to hurt myself or hurt my baby, right? There's a stigma on that. And so if we could get over the stigma, not just talking about postpartum, but the stigma of saying, I am suffering. I need help. Yeah. I need comfort. If we could get over that stigma problem, the you problem, I mean, the world would be a little bit better, because there is a lot of people suffering with whatever, work, being a wife, being a husband, whatever you're suffering, school, sports, putting on your shoes, whatever those things are, if you could just say, I need help, I need comfort, I am suffering, we would be better.
Yeah. And I want to add to that too, because I think even sometimes as Christians, and even those who don't know God or don't know anything about God, I think there's still that little bit of pride.
Yep.
But see, when we come into Christ Jesus and we accept Him, we should have no pride when it comes to that. That's why you heard me when I going through, when I had all that pain, and I kept getting up, I said, you know what, y'all, God is healing me. Well, when I say God is healing me, there's something wrong, you know, he's not going to be healing you, and there's nothing wrong. You see what I'm saying? So I'm letting you know. But as I said, you know, I'm having problems, and I'm having pain, in my legs and in my back, so I get up again, I give my testimony. Well, God is healing me. You see what I'm saying? I don't have to get up every time and tell you what He's healing me from. I've already said it, but I'm telling you, He's healing me. Mm-hmm. So I'm professing my belief. I'm professing and confessing that I believe that Christ Jesus is a healer. You see what I'm saying? But like you say, you have to receive. Now, it's something else if it's there and you won't receive it. Mm-hmm. But then while you were talking, this is something that came to me too, that after we've been in this thing a while, and after we began to know some things about God, Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, then we become freer to say, you see what I'm saying? Well, you know what? I need help. And you know what? And saying help, that means nobody should be talking about you, because you said you need help. Mm-hmm. Nobody's putting you down because you said you need help. Nobody's saying, ooh, did you hear that? Because you need help. We are the body of Christ, and we are our brother's keepers, and we are supposed to be helping everybody. We're supposed to be praying for one another daily. You see what I'm saying? Nobody should be left out of that prayer. But if you got issues, problems, or unforgiving, we are all in this thing together.
Yes.
As I said before, we are in this boat. If the boat don't sink, we are all in there. Somebody ought to have something to plug that hole in the boat so we all don't go down. But I thank God for Christ Jesus.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? As I said before, I've been through something. You see what I'm saying? And then and let me tell you something else. Sometimes you can pray for your healing and get it. And this, and then you think the manifestation has come, and then the enemy will come back and tell you, give you the symptoms. You see what I'm saying? That's almost like Thomas saying, I'm not going to believe you unless I see the prints where they put the nails in your hands and in your feet. Let me see your side so I can see that they really did pierce you. I don't have to see that. By faith, I know you're going to heal me. See what I'm saying? Now, some people, we have to be real. I want to be healed on this side. On this side. See, there's a healing that could be on that side. Nobody, don't take me away. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If I'm complaining, that. Let me be healed on this side. Specific.
Yeah.
So I can tell somebody else about how you did.
Mm.
God is good.
Yeah.
And me, I never forgot the pain of having a baby. And that's why I don't have any one. Hallelujah. One may come out of my womb, but I got some more. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, so verse 5. So we're on verse 5. So another thing about that one is, if Jesus was persecuted, why wouldn't we be? So can someone turn to John 15:18-27 for us? John 15:18-27.
John 15:15-18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you.
Hmm.
Shall I read that again?
Yeah, please. I'll wait for it. Right there. Yeah, it's just right there.
John 15:18. Hmm. Okay, I'm going to try not to whelp up right here. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you.
Hmm.
If ye were of the world would love his own.
Hmm.
But okay. Because
right there. So this is, if ye are of the world, the right. world would love his own.
Right.
So if you are of the world,
yeah.
then the world should love you right now.
Hmm.
Now, if y'all see in some type of rejection from the world, what does that mean? We should be set apart.
That's right.
We should. Keyword is should. Keyword is should.
Yeah.
A lot of us are two-faced Christians. We over here saying inside church, come on. Oh, I'm Jesus all day, every night, every second, every minute of the day. And then we get out of bed and we heathen every night, every second of the day. So that's the best part. Heathen.
If ye were of the world would love his own.
Ooh.
But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world.
Right there. But it says, I have chosen.
Mm-hmm.
I have chosen. We are of the elect.
Right.
We are elect. Elected, yes, you're
right.
elected. You are
that's
elected.
Right.
You are chosen. So if you are chosen, that means you are handpicked by God.
That's right.
All right.
So you are handpicked by God.
Yeah.
You know how special it is to be handpicked by God? Oh my God. Can you see him literally just going down and saying, you?
Yeah.
I want you.
Mm.
That's what you should be imagining. Every morning you wake up, you should be thanking Jesus for choosing me.
Wow.
Choosing me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, just listen.
Therefore, the world hated you.
The world hated you. You're set apart. The world is not going to like you.
Okay.
And then we all see that on our day-to-day life.
Okay.
We should be seeing that on our day-to-day life. Sometimes you feel like you alone.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you by yourself. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is right there in the soul.
Right.
Amen.
We all have trouble. We all go through different situations. But you just have to remember and you have to receive. The two R's, remember and receive. God is right there in the soul.
Mm.
Accept it. Go ahead.
Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me,
mm-hmm.
they will also persecute
persecute
persecute you.
Yes, you.
So right there. That's the proof right there. If you if they persecuted Jesus, one more time, Jesus, why don't you think you're going to be persecuted?
My.
Does that not make sense to everybody?
Hmm.
If Jesus was persecuted and he's supposed to be within us, then you're going to be persecuted too. But the thing is, the redemption by the blood.
All right.
That redeemed, we are bought by his blood. So when we're redeemed and we're bought by that blood, guess what that means? We're not going to have to go through everything that Jesus went through. Jesus suffered.
Yeah.
Now, you talking about Paul? No, Jesus suffered.
Yeah.
He really suffered. But then Jesus Christ came in. He redeemed us.
Yeah.
We are redeemed and we're saved from our sins.
I heard you saying something, and I see the scripture. It said the world persecutes you. Mm-hmm. That means we're not supposed to persecute each other.
Right there. Right. You didn't do it. You got it.
Something's wrong when we persecute each other. Mm-hmm. We are hate one another. See, if we all belong to the same club, we all belong to the same society, we all belong to Jesus, we all belong to the same ministry, we all belong to the same God, the same Holy Spirit, then something is wrong. We don't know what side we belong on when we begin to persecute one another.
Mm-hmm.
Something's wrong with that. And it happens in the Bible. You see what I'm saying? It happens in the Bible. Then the Holy Spirit got to come in and that's what we call friendly fire.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That should not happen. That should not happen when we know better.
We do better.
We should do better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just right there. What did God tell Saul on the road to Damascus? Saul, why thou persecuted me?
Yeah.
He didn't say why persecuted my children. He said why persecuted me.
Right.
Yeah. Now y'all all know that Saul was still a Christian.
Yes.
That was before the name changed.
Yeah.
That was before he switched over. That's when God changed him.
He was
killing the Christians.
Yeah.
And when he was killing the Christians, that's when he got knocked off that road on the road to Damascus, knocked off that horse, saying, Paul, why persecutest thou me?
Uh-huh.
So that means when we persecute each other, talking about some, I like to see the name say, I like to see the name bad, I like to see the man say it. You persecuting God.
That's right.
Do you really want to persecute God? I mean, just think about that. You are persecuting God.
Mm-hmm.
You're not persecuting sister something so-and-so, sister and brother something so-and-so. No. You're persecuting God. Like the minister Lane said, it's a consequence. You're going to have to pay that consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And everything you do is a consequence. It's a good consequence or a bad consequence.
Yeah.
I promise it won't be a good consequence.
Mm.
Go ahead.
I want to say, what if, just go on this journey with me now. What if people straddle the fence? And when they straddle the fence, they end up on the side of the devil. And the devil don't give you no chance. He just snatch you. And you can't get back up to get back on the other side. Just what if? What if that happened? And like the world today, there's a lot of people straddling the fence. They want to be on God's side, but then they want to be on the world's side. And the world's side is not of God, because there's a lot of sinful in the world side. You know, God trying to get the world to realize it's about him, not about the world. But what if a line of people on a highway, and this is the narrow road, not the double lane.
Mm-hmm.
And you go down this street, a lot of people, and they just accidentally, just step on the other side that the cars are coming on. That's the devil's side. And this side going toward heaven. Just what if? You just fall over there and they just snatch you. And they hollering and screaming and trying to get back over there. But you had your chance the whole time you was living. You know what I'm saying? That's a dangerous thought.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thought to think about.
And I want to say in life, there are millions of people that fall in that position. And some know God and the devil end up getting up, and some don't. And they end up with the devil. But you know what? God. And sometimes people resist God and end up, because like Pastor Glover said, you have a choice, heaven or hell. Some people don't believe in heaven and hear me, really.
And some people don't believe it's a hell. Some people don't even believe it's a devil. You see what I'm saying? I've encountered people, they don't believe that. Where you going? They don't know where they want, but they don't believe about that. They, some people don't even believe in the word of God, don't believe in the Bible. They say a man wrote it. It's not true. And all that. I've encountered all of that. You see what I'm saying? That's why it's all according to your belief.
Mm-hmm.
But John 3, we know, everybody know John 3:16. Mm-hmm. I can't quote it in number one. Keep from this corner of the world, but what comes after that? We know John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life, would not perish, but live forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what does John 17 say? And it's not 17, it's 18. What's 17 say?
For God sent not his son into the world.
To condemn the world. Uh-huh. But that the world through him might be saved.
And what's next?
He that believeth on him is not condemned.
He if you believe on him, you're not condemned. Well, what does it say?
But he that believeth not is condemned already.
The one that don't believe, you are already condemned.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? You're already condemned if you don't believe. And we just have to make sure that we are believers. Yeah. And make sure that we try to get to people who don't believe or
mm-hmm.
They believe or they're trapped.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? You got some people that believe. Circumstances may have them where they are, where they took another road. Things from their childhood could have happened. It could have been abused
mm-hmm.
and put them on that road when they got grown and there was nobody for them to talk to. There was nobody for them to tell them this thing. You see, it's so many things. But if you believe not, you condemned already. But what about one that believes and ended up on that road? That's why we have to keep each other prayed up. And that's why we have to pray for even those that are not in the Bible. That means we have to pray for everybody. We don't have time to condemn, point, offend at nobody, be jealous of nobody, envious of nobody. We don't have time for that. That's the tactic of the enemy, to take our focus off of God and help one another. You see what I'm saying? Also, there's another scripture. Help me with it, Mr. Love. Donnie Kirk put it, McClark can put it in a song. A man will fall. I don't know. It's a scripture.
Yeah.
Fall, get back up again. It's a scripture. A man fall.
Let's see. Yeah, Proverbs 24:16. Let's look at it.
24:16. Proverbs.
Yeah.
You know, we're it's a choice. We don't always.
Is that the one you're looking for? The one that says for though?
Proverbs.
For just men fall it seven times and rise it up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Is that?
That may be Proverbs 24.
And 16.
I think that's it.
The New Living says, the godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. So,
mm-hmm.
That's Proverbs 24:16.
For just men fall seven times, but he'll get up again.
Right.
So, and that means, too, a just man, if he falls six times, and you know it's six, don't be putting no finger on him and a thumb on him, talking about he did this, he did that, and he failed, and he did all of this. Bible says he can do it six times.
No problem.
You don't know what's sitting that way. It could have been you. And when I say you, I mean you. You know, mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then seven times. But it's saying, well, he's going to rise up again.
Yeah.
Because so did Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But the wicked shall fall into mischief. So sometimes it's their choice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it is. But it said what? Rejoice. Don't rejoice when your enemy fall. But don't let your heart be glad when he stumble.
Mm-hmm.
See, all that's often your trouble lesson. That's trouble.
Okay, so verse 6 says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual and enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. or whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. Mm-hmm. So I did this one in the NLT version too, just because it's kind of a picky little picky. Just so. Mm-hmm. Verse 8 says, even when we are weighed down with troubles. So this is Paul talking to you, by the way. So this is Paul saying, even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. Mm-hmm. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you, and you can patiently endure the same things we suffer.
There it is.
So, Paul is a leader. We all know that Paul was a leader. Paul planted the church. Mm-hmm. Paul planted over 20 churches. Paul was working with God. I mean, he got it going. So, this is basically saying that, so you can think about it as a leader point of view, or think about it as you point of view. It's up to you. You are all leaders in your own certain way. We all have a leader thing that we are good at, that we're doing, that we're going for. So, even when we are way down in trouble, so, when we are weighed down with troubles, it really goes back to verse 4 when you're saying, when I comfort, you should be comfort someone else.
That's
someone
else
comforts to somebody else. So even when we are weighed down with things, it is for your comfort and salvation. So when we're weighed down with things, it's for your consolation and it's for your salvation. It's for you to be saved. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. So Paul is really saying, Paul is as a leader. Mm-hmm. He was saying that as the leader of the church, he's saying, when they afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation.
That's right.
Okay, right. And then it says, so when we ourselves are comforted, when they're comforted, they're not going to hold the comfort to themselves. They don't give that comfort out to the church, or the body. Now, it says, then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. So that goes back to that parent-child syndrome thing, where if you're a parent, you should be trying to tell your child what not to do so they don't go that way. Now, that's the leader point of view, but think about it as a you point of view, too. So you're saying when you are things, it says, so when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. So that goes back to that verse 4. When you comforted, you should be comforting somebody else.
That's right.
Okay, you should.
All right.
Somebody should. Somebody should think we should be doing. You should be comforting someone else. And then it says, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. So it's saying that no matter what we go through, we should share those things with other people so that way we can prevent them from going down that same road. We can help them with that same road. And so they can patiently endure the same thing. They've been through before. They know how to pray. They know it's all about, it's just being the body. We're all the body and we're all one.
Amen.
So, verse 7 is actually a continuation of verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying in verse 7 that the leadership suffered, and so do y'all. Mm-hmm. So it's saying that, so the leadership suffering, but it's saying the leadership ain't the only one suffering.
All right.
It's saying we know y'all suffer too, right? Because it's saying, I hope for you it's steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be part of the consolation. So
this one is simple.
It's saying, okay, we know you share in the suffering.
Right.
So it's saying you're not just going to share in the suffering, not just sharing in the comfort.
In the comfort, that's right.
You're going to be sharing in that comfort. So it's saying you suffered, but the Holy Spirit is no respecter person. If they comfort Pastor Glover, it's going to comfort all of y'all too.
That's right.
Our body.
That's right.
Okay.
Amen.
So
that's right.
This is not a one-way thing where the pastor is just giving out to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's giving his cup. So his cup is overflowing. So he wants to give it out, right?
Right.
Right.
Right. He's giving it out.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving it out.
Right.
He's giving it out.
Right.
Okay.
He's giving it out.
But, okay, so are we giving it out?
Uh-oh.
So he's filling our cups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So God, it all starts with God.
Yeah.
He gives it to Pastor Glover.
Right.
Right, right, right.
Right, right, right.
He gives it to the church.
Right.
Right, 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 right. Okay.
Right, right, right.
That's up to school. Right,
right, right, right.
Okay. Then you go out. Okay. And then you go out. Okay.
Huh.
Then you go out.
Okay.
Then you go out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you going out? Okay. Yeah. I know where I'm going with that. Okay. So are we going out and giving it to the people?
Oh.
Are we going out and giving it to the people? Because guess what? If we're not giving it to the people and we're holding that in, our cups have been overflowing. So what does that mean for the overflow?
Yeah.
Mm.
It's wasted.
Yeah.
It's touching the ground.
Yeah.
And it's just drying up.
Mm.
So we don't want Pastor Glover's teaching to be in vain. We don't want a pastor's teaching to be in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you have to think about that. Mm-hmm. Are you giving it out?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
But then this goes back to encouraging. Like I said, this whole thing is about encouraging.
Right.
So Pastor Glover is encouraging y'all. Right, 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 right.
Right.
Encouraging y'all. Are y'all encouraging Pastor Glover?
Mm.
Now God consoles him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he consoles us.
Mm-hmm.
But like Pastor Glover was saying on Wednesday, sometimes you need to see the flesh console you.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
So are you consoling Pastor Glover?
Reciprocal.
Are you going talking to Pastor Glover? It's just simply encouraged.
Yeah.
You have no idea how that can help somebody.
That's right.
All of those things are really important for the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one giving out that word.
Right. Right,
He's
right,
the
right.
One giving out that word.
Right, right, right.
That God has given to him.
Right, 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 right.
That's the key part. That God has given to him.
Right.
Are you listening to Pastor Glover?
Yes.
Are you listening to what God told Pastor Glover?
Yes. Mm.
Pastor Glover, the flesh, is not telling you.
Yeah.
In the spirit.
But the God, God, God is speaking to Pastor Glover.
Yes.
Amen.
So you're being disobedient to Pastor Glover.
Mm.
Giving disobedience to God.
Uh-oh. That's clear. That's clear. That's clear. That's clear.
Verse 8, it says, so we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of your trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, and so much that we despaired even of life.
Hmm.
So this first part is so important. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant.
Yeah.
We would not have you lacking of knowledge.
Okay.
We want you to know all the suffering that happened in Asia. Like Sister Missy said a minute ago, you have to let other people know sometimes. Mm-hmm. But the important thing is the discernment of it. Not everybody is for you.
Right.
Now, you want to tell people, be careful who you tell your business.
Hmm.
Be careful who you have pray for you. Not everybody is for you. The quicker you learn that, the easier life will be. Not everybody is for you. Now, you can ask somebody to pray for you, but you better have that discernment ready and know, okay, they want my best.
That's right.
Because somebody will be saying, oh, I hope it goes good. And in their heart be saying, I hope it all fails.
Yeah.
All it happens. Heart, you have to remember.
It happens.
And you know if you want them.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know in your heart, if you talking about somebody coming out saying, oh, I hope it goes good. In your heart, you're talking about, I just want you to fail. I hope everything in your life is fail.
Mm.
All of that, mm-hmm. even those little bits,
mm-hmm.
God looks at the heart. He don't look at words. It's the heart. You have to be really careful about what you say.
Okay.
You didn't want brave. You didn't want for yourself to.
That's
you
right.
Like you did.
Mm.
Be careful. Okay, so that was verse 8. And the real thing about this one, too, it says, and so much that we despaired even of life.
Yeah.
Paul thought he was going to die, y'all.
Yeah.
I mean, he really thought he was going to die.
Much. It's too much.
He really thought he was going to die. That's really important. So the thing about sharing your suffering is, you can't be ashamed to share your suffering, y'all. Y'all really cannot be ashamed.
Hmm.
It goes back to the sermon, but you cannot be ashamed to share your suffering because that suffering can help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 9, like I said before, it's a continuation. It says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves,
right?
That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead.
Hmm.
Right there, y'all. That's saying what Sister Lane said on Wednesday when she said, once you get the end of yourself, that's when God steps in.
Yeah.
So he's saying right there, he said, but we had to send it to death. Like I said, he thought he was going to die, y'all.
Right.
And you know, when we really going through a suffering trial, or we really, really suffering, who's the first person we go to most times? You kind of know, you like, well, I thought you, I belong. I need you to come in right now. I know you can't do that. No, you can't do it, but I know God can do it. So you have to slide on in there because I know I can't do it right now. So you have to, Lord help me. So
yeah.
He's saying right here, he said, have the sentence of death in ourselves. That we should not trust in ourselves. Y'all reading it right? That we should not trust in ourselves.
I see it.
That we should not be self-reliant.
Okay.
That we should not be self-reliant. Am I reading that right, y'all? Right?
I see it. It's,
okay.
It's in the
text. But in God, we should be God-reliant.
Yeah.
So, but in God, it was braver than dead.
Wow.
So, it didn't just say, but in a God.
Right.
It says, but in God, which braises the dead.
That's him.
So, who raised the dead?
That's him.
Who raised the dead? Lazarus. Come forward. No. See, we're talking about the God.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a God.
Yeah.
It's the God.
Yeah.
So it's saying the God that raises the dead.
Yeah.
And then in verse 10, it says, who delivered us from so great a death?
Wow.
From so great a death and doth deliver. So he delivered us from so great a death, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us again.
Yeah.
So if y'all look right there, it's 3 tenses.
Okay. Yeah.
So you have a past tense, a present, and you have a future.
Okay.
So it says, who delivered?
What you talking about now?
All right.
You better sit down somewhere.
So you say who delivered.
You better go sit down.
Delivered down the past, right?
You better go sit down. That's
all
easy.
Have been delivered.
You better sit down.
if y'all weren't, y'all would be a deliverer.
Right.
And then it says, okay, and does deliver. So that means he's currently delivering.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's
delivering.
Okay. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Video, yeah. He's delivering.
Yeah.
And then after that, it said, for whom we trust that he will yet, it means to come to pass.
Yet.
Deliver us.
Yeah.
So if he's going to yet deliver us, that means whatever you haven't got to yet, and it's going to come, it's going to be delivered. So you have to, but the thing about you, about the future that he will yet deliver us is you got to believe he's going to do it. You got to pray for something and be half-hearted. Now, we have a self-issue.
Yeah.
We have a self-issue.
Yeah.
And our faith, it may not be where it needs to be, but you're going to have to believe in God.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in no one else, you're going to have to believe in God. God is the only one that's going to be there for y'all. Yeah. Y'all have to understand that. So if it says, in whom that he will yet deliver us,
you're
going to have to believe that he's going to deliver you through it. You're going to have to believe that he's doing it currently.
Yeah.
That present is a real serious thing. You have to be really serious about that present.
Mm-hmm.
It's a present. It's a present. It's gift wrapped. You're in life. You're living.
All right.
But you're going to have to believe what's coming.
Yeah.
If that was coming, that's coming to pass, he already delivered.
All right.
With that deliverance, you have to give praise before it happens.
Hallelujah.
It's not a situation where you can just say, well, God, I have to believe you're going to do it. I guess you're going to do it. I don't know if you're going to do it.
If you'll see.
No, you're going to have to give him praise before the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You got to praise him because God wants praise. That's what we're here for.
Hallelujah.
I don't know if y'all know. Hallelujah. No, it's to give out. It's to witness. Like Pastor Glover been saying for the past few Wednesdays.
Witness.
Keyword, witness.
That's it.
So now verse 11, y'all. Oh Lord. Verse 11.
Okay.
Ye also.
Okay.
Helping together. Y'all got looking words, helping together, not hurting, helping.
Okay.
By prayer for us.
Okay.
By prayer.
Uh-huh.
That for the gift bestowed.
Okay.
Upon us by the means of many persons.
Okay.
Many persons. Thanks may be given. Thanks. Oh, y'all heard that, right?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks. Make sure. Maybe given by many on our behalf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, like Sister Crystal was talking about a few weeks ago, she said what? We're a what? The honor?
A body.
Yeah, we're a body.
Uh-huh.
So we're a body, right?
Uh-huh.
So if we're a body, and let's say, okay, look, so you have a brain, you have a heart, you have skin, you have different organs, you have different things on your body, am I correct?
Yes.
Now, if one thing on your body hurts, does the whole body feel it?
Yeah.
That's me. Yep. I'm right. Or I didn't get wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm not.
Right. No, you're right.
I'm right. Okay. Yeah. So, if one of us feel it, so that means, we should all be happy for one another.
Yeah.
Hmm.
If we're praying for something and it comes to fruition,
all right.
If we're delivered from something, we should not be happy about the situation if it does not happen.
Hmm.
Does that make sense to everybody?
Right, right.
So let's say someone is saying, oh, my body hurts,
mm-hmm.
or oh, my toenail hurt,
mm-hmm.
and you talking about some, and it finally is delivered, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get delivered from it. Now, are you at heart truly happy that they're delivered from it?
Come on.
Are you at heart truly happy that they're delivered from it? You should be happy for the body.
That's right.
Because the body is one.
Yeah, it's all connected.
So if we're a body, we should be all feeling the same thing.
Yeah.
Because we're a body.
Yeah.
We are a body. I'm trying to get that in your head. Yeah. We're a body.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the brain. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The brain has nerve impulses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throughout the body. Wherever each piece of the body feels, it goes back to the brain.
Uh-huh.
That's why when you get hurt, you say, ouch. Right?
Okay. Right, right.
So, guess who the brain is? The brain is God.
That's
the brain
right.
is over it all.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about the brain is the body is not just Houston. So, if the body was just Houston,
okay.
and then this body is Los Angeles, and then this body is something else,
yeah.
it'd be division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God said it's no division.
Okay.
He does not want division.
I see.
We want one body.
I see.
So that means that the United States could be just as one arm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then Russia could be this one.
Uh-huh.
And then something could be this leg.
Yeah.
And something could be this leg.
Right.
It's all in one bite. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So ye, also helping together by the prayer for us. Ye also helping together by the prayer for us.
Okay.
We should be helping.
Yeah.
Helping, not hurting. That's a key thing. Yeah. We should be helping each other. Like you said, we should not be persecuting each other.
That's right.
We should not be persecuting each other.
That's right.
All that jealousy, envy, all that stuff. How is that going to help the body?
Hmm.
How is that going to help the body? It's going to cause divisions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need nothing amputated. We need all of y'all to stay here.
All right.
Okay.
Amen.
So, y'all helping other brothers prepare for us. That for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons. So the thing about this one is it's by the gift. It's a gift mm-hmm. bestowed upon us by the means of many persons. So you know what the gift is, right? The gift is the deliverance.
Yeah.
So you're being delivered and God is gifting you the deliverance.
Yeah.
Because you didn't give it to yourself.
No.
I mean you didn't go over there talking about you praying and you talking about some I did that. I'm a boast in my soul right now because I know I did that. No, you did not. You didn't do that. You sat your butt and you heard it. By God consoles
you. My God, I did.
Okay, so the Holy Spirit, He consoles you, but He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to let you keep on living too.
That's right.
Gotta believe it.
I believe it.
So that's where the gift bestowed upon us by the name of many persons. Things may be given by many on our behalf. Mm. It says by many, right? Yeah. By many. It didn't say just a sister or the brother, okay. Or just the uncle or the nephew.
Mm-hmm.
By many.
Yeah.
This ain't talking about blood relatives. We're talking about spiritual relatives.
Yeah.
We are talking about under God.
Yeah.
God relatives.
Okay, now.
So that means that if I get hurt, I'm not going to be talking about maybe I hope my sister say thank you. No. I hope my sister say thank you. Sister Missy say thank you. Mm-hmm. I hope my brother Javashin say thank you.
Yeah.
I hope Pastor Glover say thank you. I hope Sister Barry say thank you.
Okay.
This is not about blood relatives.
Okay.
This is about the spirit.
Yes.
Once you learn that it's about the spirit, it's so much more you can understand. So if you look at the actual lesson, it's three things that's being described. So if you look at verse 1-7,
mm-hmm.
it's the comfort of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
He comforts us. He consoles.
Yeah.
And then if you look at verse 8-9,
okay.
You'll see the affliction. That's when Paul was going through what happened in Asia.
Right.
He thought they was going to die. That's the affliction.
Right.
And then you get to 10 and 11. You have the deliverance.
Hallelujah.
So you have to know that, okay, you may be going through something right now. You may be suffering, but God is going to comfort you.
Yes.
Okay.
In the midst of the affliction.
All right.
But you have to know, you have to believe the deliverance is coming.
It's on the way.
May God be the Lord.
Hallelujah.